chair.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay. So call this Monday, April 30th, 2018, Finance Committee meeting to order. I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda. Perkins, Arquette, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we will be moving item 3, presentation of certificates of recognition, to further down the agenda item awaiting their arrival, yes. I would ask for a motion for approval of the minutes of the March 26th Finance Committee. Perkins.
They're coming in right now.
Okay. Good. Do I have a second? Burke, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll hold on for a moment. Chairs. Next item on the agenda is the presentation of certificates of recognition honoring the Clarkson University women's hockey team, managers and coaches for winning the NCAA Division I national championship title. After this, we'll have a short recess for a reception, but before we have the reception, we're all going to go to the steps that you just came up and have a group picture taken. So, legislators, as soon as we adjourn, go to the steps. Don't start talking. So I would ask for a motion for a resolution recognizing Clarkson University women's hockey team for excellence and outstanding achievement in capturing the NCAA Division I national championship. Colbert, Fay, it looks unanimous. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask our chairperson, Mr. Akers, to come down and present the certificates.
Well, first of all, thank you for coming. You look also different without numbers on and helmets, so I don't recognize it. Welcome to St. Lawrence County government. St. Lawrence County has about 110,000 people and represented by 15 different individual legislators that represent about 7,000 people apiece. We're always looking for people to hire. We really would like to hire some Division I athletes, so keep us in mind. So with this 15 member body, there's Democrats, the Republicans, or if Canadian, the Liberals and the Conservatives. So if we have some Trudeaus, we have some Stephen Harpers, we have a mix. But at the same time, you have some Clarkson fans here. You also have some St. Lawrence University fans here. We have the owner of the Hoot Owl, which is a respite for St. Lawrence University athletes in rehydration zone, I think, in the off season.
Clarkson alumni.
Okay. So one of the things that's nice, this isn't like Duke in North Carolina, where you would never ever see a Duke fan support North Carolina if North Carolina's in the Final Four or vice versa. So here in the North Country, it's really great. If Clarkson is doing well, men's or girls, the whole community gets behind him. And so what you've accomplished is really tremendous. I mean, three championships, national championships in 5 years. It's so difficult. I did watch the ECAA finals and the games against Colgate at St. Lawrence and Cornell. They're really good. And it's really nice that you ended up going against Colgate in the final. It really says a lot for the ECAC. So I'd like to read off your names. I do not have a French bone in my body. I've only been to Montreal a couple times. So please, I apologize if I mangle your names. So first up is Avery Mitchell. She's number 4, defense, 5'4". Is Avery here today? Avery, come on up. Congratulations, Avery. So Avery is from Pickering, Ontario. Next up is Elizabeth Jaguar. She's a Jaguar? Is it true? That's bad, wasn't that? So Elizabeth is transferring to St. Lawrence University next year. I should probably get that. No. So Elizabeth is from Quebec City, and she's a freshman forward. Lauren Lafleur of 5'8", Windsor, Ontario. Lauren, she's not here, okay. Tia Stoddard, number 9. She's 5'1", and from California. Okay, so Tia Stoddard, freshman forward, 5 foot. Well, I already did that one. This is going to be a tough one. Michaela Pislova. What was that? She is from the Czech Republic. A very good skater. So next up, number 11, Ella Shelton, sophomore defense, Ingersoll, Ontario. This is a tough one. Catherine, is it Beaumier? Beaumier? Okay. She's not here? Okay. She's from Washington, right? Yes. So Savannah Harmon, defense, 5'3". She's from Illinois. So Savannah was one of the top finalists, or 3 finalists in the, is it the Patty Kazmaier Award, which is recognizes the best female hockey player in Division I. It's quite an achievement. Next up, number 15, Amanda Titus. She's a senior forward, 5'7", from Stittsville, Ontario. Michaela Boyle, freshman, forward, 5'3", from Reading, Massachusetts. Okay. Taylor Turnquist, sophomore defense, 5'5", from Bain, Minnesota. So Megan Hector, freshman defense, 5'6", from Georgetown, Ontario. Okay, Lauren Gable, junior, forward, 5'4", from Kitchener, Ontario. Okay, Christy Pigeon, is that right? How do you... Pigeons? Okay. I didn't want to say that because I thought I would get crucified for that. All right. So 5'10", from Ingleside, Ontario. Emma Keenan, junior, defense, 5'7", Calgary, Alberta. Okay. Cassidy Vinkel, junior, forward, 5'7", from Belleville, Ontario. Caitlin Fournier, number 24, senior, 5'7", from Ottawa, Ontario. This is going to be, is it Rianne McGill?
Ryan.
Ryan? Ryan McGill. So forward, 5'8", from Whitby, Ontario. Okay. So Kelly Mariani? Mariani, okay. Junior forward, 5'3", from Mississauga, Ontario. So Josiane Passebon, is that right? Defense, 5'4", from Bourget. Is it Bourget, Ontario?
Yeah.
Okay, Kia Castingway, freshman, who's a goalie, 5'5", is it Ipswich? Ipswich, Massachusetts. So, Jenna Brenneman, sophomore goalie, 5'7", from Eagan, Minnesota. And Shay, is it Tiley? Shay Tiley, a senior goalie from Owen Sound, Ontario. Are you going to medical school?
No.
You're not? Okay. Somebody's on this group is going to medical school, are they not? No? Maybe it was a bad joke. Okay, all right. So we have Matt DeRocher. Matt DeRocher is not here, former SLU alum.
6'1", 190, left wing, right? 4% body fat.
So Brittany Smith, the assistant coach. Okay, Tony Massey. Is that pronounced? Messi?
This is the quiet guy. You can hear him across the rink until the puck gets out across the red line. That's otherwise, right. He's hollering.
Is Tad Johnson the strength and conditioning coach here? Not Tad?
That's everybody.
Okay, that's everybody? All right. So I want to thank you for coming. It really... It is truly a great accomplishment, particularly the coaching staff, to bring this together. You probably start training in September and go right through. Are you still in training now? Still got you running and working out. So we'll take a break. We'll have some cookies, which is probably not on your diet, but we'll have a little drink and then take a picture.
We'll take the picture first.
Take a picture first?
Yeah.
Okay, picture
so
first.
Everybody to the steps, and then we'll get a picture taken. 10-minute recess. Ready?
I am.
Okay. All right. So meeting is back in session. I neglected to mention that Mr. Hooper is excused from this evening. I was guessing that.
Summer's coming.
Okay, so our first order of business after our break. Would ask for a motion for authorization to fill 7 temporary labor positions in the Department of Highways. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Pecklin, Mr. Arquette. Take it away.
Yes, as part of our budget process, the positions were cut in the Highway Department budget, and in order to help facilitate getting summer operations done on our construction projects and maintenance projects, the decision was made during budget to fund 7 temporary labor positions, which is up from 4 that we had the year before. So this goes a long way to helping us do our construction projects and providing the labor we need. These positions are only for a 12-week period.
Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the donation of a plaque from the County Route 24 Bridge over Grass River, Bin 3363520 to the Russell Historical Association. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Perkins.
Yes. The bridge that is in Russell, the truss, was awarded last special legislative board meeting. That structure was constructed in 1929, and there is a cast iron plaque that is on the structure. The town has requested that plaque be removed, which it has been at this point, and then donated to the town. It's now in my office.
Questions for discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Department of Highways capital projects for the purchase of multi-use trail equipment. Mr. Burke.
Thank you.
And Mr. LaViere.
Good evening. So the County Highway Department put a bid out for a dump trailer for the multi-use trail group and has found the best price was received of $5,300. Most of our trails are not wide enough for a dump truck, and we really need to be able to get stone and gravel into these trails. And we've been boring dump trailers the last three summers, and they've worked very well. It made us realize that that's the needed piece of equipment for us to continue these multi-use trails, maintaining them. So we're asking for your support to purchase the trailer. We are not asking for money, as there is funding set aside to cover the trailer already in our highway department account. Just to give you a little background, a multi-use trail usually opens May 15 after mud season. With the late snow this year, we may be opening a little later than normal because we need to be able to get out and work on these trails before we open. This year we took over the maintenance on the state portion of Brazier Forest, so that's new to us this year, as well as the county parcel within the Brazier Forest. We need to do some grading and trail hardening on the state land. We've got about 4 miles of trail before May that we need to repair. The town of Brazier has earmarked $5,000 to help us repair the Burns Road that's also our Burns Trail. There's two bridges there that do not carry the weight load of a dump truck, so volunteers will be moving all the gravel through those 4 miles of trail with tractors and dump trailers. Volunteers will also clean out the ditches and the length of the road for better drainage. So we're finding now, as we work with the towns where the trails that are open, that we're helping the towns with the volunteer labor by helping them maintain their roads. They're helping us a little bit with money for the materials, and it's a great partnership. It's been working out well in the communities that we've been accomplishing that. I know you've probably read in the news the last couple of weeks some of the negative articles that have come out on the multi-use trail, but I do want to say what a positive end those articles have been for me, because I've had over 8 landowners call me since the articles came out offering their land for use so we can connect the trail. So that was a great answer that came out of what could have been negative turned into positive. So we've been very happy about that. I am going to be asking you if we could complete an Appendix A with Barton and LaJudas to reroute our trail through Herman. This resolution has already been drafted, but I knew we didn't have it on agenda tonight, so we're going to submit it for the May 21 finance meeting and the full board meeting on June 4. And again, we're not asking for funding. We've got funding set aside for this. We're asking for your support to continue so we can get the Pierpont to Pitcairn connection open, hopefully in June this summer, is our goal right now. I want to give you a little bit of information on the snowmobile season. It just ended. I just closed the grant 10 minutes ago. For our 2017-2018 year, we were awarded $176,670. Through our New York State Parks snowmobile grant. Our total expenditures for the year were $284,748. The balance, $108,078, was received in donations with equipment, culverts, gravel. So again, we are very, very fortunate for all the volunteers and all the donations we receive each year, whether it be the snowmobile trail or the multi-use trail. The snowmobile grant funds 526 of our miles. We have 700 miles of snowmobile trail in the county. The other 174 miles are unfunded trails, and we fund them through our membership money and donations. This year, we had 3,890 volunteer hours time in for grooming and maintaining our snowmobile trail system. So starting tomorrow is a new year, May 1, I get to start applying for the new grant this year, and that's got to be submitted by the end of May, our phase one, and we're already working on GPSing some changes in trails and some reroutes, so we'll be ready to submit that before the end of May. So does anyone have any questions?
Ms. Drakers.
Just a comment. I received a call from a constituent today that the landowners on Howardville Road have agreed to let you use access their private land, because I think the town is actually, I don't know if it has, but has the town made a decision on the Howardville Road yet or not?
What happened with the town of Canton was, so in our first communities that we opened in, we met with the town board first, respectfully, to try and show them what we'd like to consider. Then we had a public meeting so we could let the public know about it, and then we had the local law, so it was kind of a step process. I came to Canton in February and said that I would like to come to their meeting, and I was told because they didn't have an attorney that I couldn't come to the meeting to discuss that until they'd hired an attorney. So I checked back with them in March, and I checked with them in April, just before the April meeting. They said they thought they were hiring an attorney at the April meeting and that I would be coming to the May meeting. And then you were at the Town of Canton meeting, so the trail did end up getting discussed while I wasn't there. I felt it was a little bit of misrepresentation stating that we weren't ready to show the map or share it with everyone. We were trying to respectfully share it with the five towns we're going through their boards before we put it out to public for everyone, because if the town didn't want to consider it, then we weren't going to share it with the public. And we had three towns that all meet on the same night, so I wasn't able to get them all done in 1 month. I had to stagger them over the months to be able to get everyone addressed before we submit it to the public. So anyways, I do want to say that we've been welcomed with open arms. Pierpont's been wonderful, Edwards, Russell, Pitcairn. So we've just got to work our way through the 1 mile in Canton on Howardville Road. Maybe they will let us use it once I give the presentation in May. If they don't, we do have five landowners that have offered their land in to use in place of the road. I really do prefer to keep it on the road because it's our Appendix A that we've already submitted, and it's completed. If we can't use it, then we'll go to Plan B, but we have Plan B already in place. I also didn't get to tell the town of Canton that before I went to their board meeting, I had already gone down the town road, the Howardville Road, 1 mile. There's 13 landowners. I've already had 11 out of the 13 sign a petition stating they were glad to have the road used as a multi-use trail. The last two were on vacation, so I wasn't able to get them, but I will be talking to them before the meeting in May. So we'll see what the town of Canton wants to do once we present it to them.
Well, it wasn't reported in the article, but I did tell them it would be the same thing. You can't produce a map for the public when you haven't actually had had a chance to meet with those town boards, and if you had a map that showed this running on their local roads, that it would be quite an affront to them.
Like, I felt it'd be disrespectful. Yeah, so that I was trying to be respectful of each board.
The other thing that actually wasn't reported in the article was, because the question was about transparency, mm-hmm. and then what I followed up with an email to the town supervisor and to the board members about. I think it was, I'll have my dates wrong, I can't check my email right now, but early in February was about the discussion and then the resolution, the public hearing, and there was a legal notice, I think, on the 8th, and then actually there was two articles that had been in the paper, one by the Watertown Daily Times, and then one by North Country Now in March, where Tony and you had actually. So I just made the town a board. Either they don't read the papers, or they were unaware. But certainly, it was in the Messina Potsdam Courier was the one article. So I assume that should have been available to them. But it was unfortunate that wasn't reported in the article.
Yeah, thank you very
but
much.
But I do have, I will say that we could have done this a little bit better. There were certainly in something like this where we're going to be running. Close to people's homes and stuff like that, or down their roads, that maybe we should have done like a rodeo roadshow type thing to make people aware before we went in to see the local towns. So I think maybe if we had possibly held it in three different places around the county, that we could have told them this is what our intention is, this is what we think that the economic impact would be, mm-hmm. This is something that we've been striving for over 8 years before I got on the board, and 11 it was already started. Mm-hmm. So I think in hindsight, I understand the mapping issue. Certainly, yeah. We could not have done anything until we had those local roads approved.
And it's funny because in town of Colton, we did the meeting ahead of going to the board meeting. When we did the Brazier Community Connector, we had all the towns on board, and then we did the presentation. So hindsight, yes.
Sure.
I do think trying to do a presentation first and then trying to approach the towns might have been a better way another time.
Thank
maybe
you,
not having all the towns have a meeting on the same night at the same time.
Right. Thank
but
you.
But nothing we can do there.
Starkett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, this effort has always been about revenue generation. I've always been a ATV enthusiast, and this past winter I became a snowmobiler. And it gave me the opportunity to get out there and go to a lot of the businesses that are being directly affected by snowmobiles and their use. We've got gas stations and restaurants being utilized all over our area. We can always use more snow, it seems like, but you know, I just want to keep in mind that some of the hurdles that we face with the ATVs, you know, that I mean, we will experience that same type of revenue generation when we're able to overcome. But make no mistake about the fact that the trail system, as it relates to snowmobiles, ongoing and continues with the ATVs, we'll get a return on our investment. There's no doubt about it. So thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I'd ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing settlement of the Supreme Court action case David L. Brown versus County of St. Lawrence and modifying the 2018 budget for liability and casualty fund. Mr. Forsyth, second. Ms. Bell.
Thank you. I'm not going to go into great detail about this, as I think this board is fairly familiar with it. This is a case that has been going on in this county for quite some time, long predates my position with the county attorney's office, and has been handled by outside counsel. But I think, as this board has heard, the outside counsel has made a recommendation of closure of this matter at this value. So I would encourage you to authorize that through resolution.
Questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That's for a motion for a resolution for authorization to create and fill a deputy director position in the Office of Emergency Services. Mr. Burke and Mr. Denisha. Mr. Ingalls.
Okay, this is an authorization to create and fill a deputy director's position in the Office of Emergency Services. This position was abolished back in December of 2013, or actually 2012 was abolished. When I came here in February of 2014, I had an intent of staying about 5 years, five, maybe six. Yeah, you did. Oh, yes, I made it very clear to Karen when I took the job. But with that being said, my goal is to see the completion and fruition of the communications project. It's taking longer than I anticipated due to the fact that the grant funding is slower in coming than we'd hoped. So I think, you know, when I came here, I had a good baseline knowledge of grant applications, grant workings, and my background in law enforcement gave me some insight into the 911 center as well. I think it would be in the county's best interest to have a transition plan in place, just because when I came in, it was a learning curve, you know, and there were some things that needed to be addressed right away, things that took a little bit longer to straighten out. But I think this would be a good opportunity to create this position, get somebody in the door, and let me spend a year or two with them to bring them up to a level that I think that they would be successful in working in that office for the future.
Questions or comment? Mr. Denisha.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I fully agree. I think the succession planning, especially for an area as critical as Director of Emergency Services, I think we would be remiss in our duties if we did not do this.
Also, I would like to note, in speaking with Human Resources, this would be a competitive civil service position, so the parties would have to take a civil service exam. We could appoint provisionally. I'm leery of that. We had an opportunity to appoint a temporary part-time dispatcher position, and we did one. He ended up leaving because he got into a master's program. I think he would have done well. But there's another one that we considered very highly to be successful in learning the position. Didn't score well enough on the civil service, so I would have spent 7 to 8 months training that person, and we would have had to let him go because he didn't score high enough on the civil service exam to successfully compete and see his name come across the road.
Any additional questions or comment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the Child and Family Services Plan and Attestation. Mr. Leader, Mr. Akers.
So this is part of the process that is used in working with the Office of Children and Family Services. We are required to submit plans, multi-year plans. Those plans are updated as each year passes, but this plan needs to have the signature of the chair of the board, and so this is a request to allow that signature to be put onto the attestation and plan.
Any questions or comment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a municipal comprehensive runaway and homeless youth services plan. Mr. Forsyth and Mr. Burke.
So this similarly is a plan that gets put together. The previous one is put together in conjunction with the probation youth bureau. This runaway and homeless youth services plan is done in conjunction with youth bureau and Department of Social Services. And actually Joanne Sevick has drafted the plan already, and I think the copy of that is available. But it requires the signature of the chair to attest that it is a plan done in conjunction with the Youth Bureau and the Department of Social Services.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
But ask for a motion for a resolution opposing Assembly Bill A-10428 that proposes elimination of marksmanship and shooting programs in public schools. Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Akers, Mr. Denisha, Mr. Perkins. Any questions or discussion? Mr. Forsyth.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Kelly and anyone else who helped draft this resolution. Awesome job. You know, this is always my soft side for sure. I serve as Region 6 rep for this area on the DEC. And my local school, Lisbon, started a trap team, came out for donations. I donated to that wholeheartedly. And the next day I get an email saying they want to do away with this. And I'm like, I can't believe it, you know. And some of the rationale is one of the shooters in one of the other states was trained ROTC or something, so one bad apple ruins it for the whole bundle. To me, this teaches children safety. Curiosity is taken away. It's something they'll use the rest of their lives, and to infringe on that would be a dire mistake. And I can't imagine any of our representatives would oppose it. But I think I speak, and I know from the email I sent out, several of the other legislators speak loud and clear, as well as neighboring counties already have seen this resolution, that enough is enough. Stop. Leave it alone. It's working just fine. So thank you again.
Mr. Denisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, when Mr. Forsythe forwarded this along, I couldn't believe what I was reading. But it's this runs in the same veins as if we wanted to reduce automobile accidents, then we would eliminate driver education in high school. I think it's counterproductive, and I hope it does not go anywhere in the assembly.
Anybody else? Mr. Akers.
At the ones in the bottom, be it further resolved, I would ask that this resolution be sent to the assembly member from New York City. That actually, this was her idea. Mr. Button, do you recall the woman's name? It was actually in the papers. So I'd like a copy sent to her.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. County Treasurer's report.
I think you all have little packages put together that were left on your desk for handouts related to my report that I'm going to give you. I'd like to start with sales tax. We have the first quarter results for sales tax, and some of you may know, but we'll go over it again just in case. It ended up coming in slightly over the same quarter compared to the prior year by about 0.47%. It's early, it's hard to tell, but I did a second calculation, so the first page is just the first quarter results. The second page on your handout had a projection. If the next three quarters came in the same as last year's, the same quarter, we could still end up with a surplus over budget of about $1.2 million. So it's way too soon to say, and I did put in big, large capitals if the next three quarters in bold, but it's preliminary, but it's could be good news for us, I guess. The second area I wanted to discuss with you are county capital project balances. As part of our reconciliation project, we've established a separate capital fund bank account, and over the course of the reconciliation project, we determined that the county had 8 open capital projects, excluding the highway capital projects, which are a creature all of their own. As of December 31st, 2017, open capital projects totaled $228,064.56. That was the balance that's still available in those 8 projects. The second, I guess these would be the third and fourth pages in your handout, but I'm tried to get them in order for you. One is the bank reconciliation for this capital fund bank account from December, and at the bottom section there's a listing of those projects that we just talked about with the balances available as of the end of the year in 2017. So these are reconciled to the bank account, to Munis. So I mean, this is a step in the right direction for us, and that's why I'm providing that to you. I don't think we've had this available before. My next section is an update on major projects in the treasurer's office and kind of a recap of 2017. As you know, 2017 was my first year elected treasurer, and as you're aware, the house was not in order. The county had hired an outside audit firm to reconcile 2014, 2015, and 2016 bank accounts to the general ledger. So I'd take this moment to say thank you. If I haven't done that, I'd like to thank you for that. Although it was painful, it was really the only way I feel that we could get to the place that we are now. So we started the new year with a new deputy, and I was still relatively new to the treasurer's office. So I'd like to list some of the major projects and accomplishments and bring that forward to today. And I won't make this too long because I know there's a hockey game right here. So In January 2017, we received the 2014 corrected cash balances from that audit firm I mentioned earlier. In February 2017, we received the 2015 adjusted cash balances from that audit firm. And our external auditors issued our 2015 financial statements. In April of 2017, the 2015 AUD, which is the annual update document, it's New York State required reporting, and the cost allocation plan for 2015 were completed and filed in that month. So essentially, in April of 2017, which was a year ago, all of the 2015 financial reporting was completed. This is essentially when we were closing internally the 2016 fiscal year and restructuring our 2017 processes and procedures. And I'd like to briefly talk about what that looked like for us. The first step for us was setting up new general ledger cash account codes and opening new bank accounts where necessary. So now we can identify bank accounts by cash code. And this is the next set of handouts. The first one is a listing of all of our on-book cash accounts with the Munis cash account codes beside them. It's not really exciting reading or anything like that, but I kind of wanted to point out that the last column, the project code column, are the things that we use to identify these new accounts. And out of all of those with, and there's two pages related to that, I think four of those were in existence. So that's what I'm talking about when we're talking about setting up new accounts to tear apart our cash and help us better reconcile it.
Renee, what page numbers are you looking at?
So you would be, I'm sorry, I didn't number these because they were different sections. So you had 1, 2, 3, 4, and it should be, I think, the 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, it says general fund at the top and Munis COA project code across the top.
Okay, I see. Okay. It. Thank you.
And then there's a second page with those on book Munis accounts. And the third page of the handout related to this, which I'm not sure what number it was in the whole package, sorry. These are all the off book cash accounts, the petty cash accounts, and the departmental cash drawers. So we've done a lot of work making sure that we have a good record and we have a good idea of all of our bank accounts. And that's all this is to demonstrate, that and the fact that we've set up a lot of individual accounts to help us better reconcile the book accounts. Is there any questions on that?
These are individual accounts, not individual bank accounts, correct? Individual accounts for bookkeeping purposes?
Largely bank accounts as well.
How many bank accounts do we have?
I don't know that we've counted it. I don't know that we've done a large count. These, we could do a rough count of them. This is pretty much listing them, except for the last one, the MBT Court and Trust, which is on the middle page of the three bank ones. That was 49 individual accounts all rolled up into one bank account. These were court-ordered funds that we were holding. They weren't county funds. But last year, we managed to, with the help of the county attorney, we got permission from the state because they were so old. They hadn't been reported on in over 6 years. And there's a procedure in place where we're supposed to report annually, and it hadn't been done. So because of the age, they kind of let us turn it all over, clean. You know, we had permission from the court, permission from the state. And so right now, as of December 31st, there was actually nothing in those 49 bank accounts, but we just got a new one that we opened this year. But other than that, these are... Yes. I think the 49 accounts is where we were hearing 100 bank accounts before or something like that, because of these.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Some other things we were talking about, changes for 2017 processes and procedures. We did a lot of changes to our internal processes, which involved changing and updating cash receipts processing, how we process accounts payable, and payroll cash processing. Our internal transfer processes had to be updated, big changes for everybody involved with all of these things. We developed and implemented internal tools and procedures to ensure we're properly completing and documenting all transactions in a timely fashion. And we spent some time documenting procedures and prepared how-tos for staff to refer to, which is helping us improve with our cross-training. In June 2017, we received 2016 cash balances. So that was 4 months after the 2015 cash was received. We received those from the audit firm and began our internal review and reconciliation process because they don't give it to you ready to go. You had to we had to do a lot of testing and make sure that we could come back to, you know, to where they're going with things and come to an agreement with it. In July 2017, the external audit started, and 2018 budget work started in earnest in my office because we really had to wait until our audit was well underway in order to spend time on any budget work at all. As well as bank reconciliations for 2017, the internal ones for the new cash accounts, and working backwards to correct earlier months in 2017. In August 2017, we had the initial draft of the AUD for 2016 was filed with New York State. September 2017, our 2016 financials were issued on September 26th, which was 4 days before the deadline. That was my goal last year, to get that done in time, and we did it. October 2017, our final AUD for the 16 year was filed, which included the auditor's adjustments. And November and December 17, we had a lot of year-end prep work. We filed our cost allocation plan for 2016, and we continued our work on the 2017 bank reconciliation work. In 2018, so far this year, we've had our 2017 year-end work, which is wrapping up and getting ready for our audit, and our 2017 bank reconciliations continued. These items don't include day-to-day activities like journal entries or board meetings, a resolution review, or departmental assistance that we do on a daily basis. But I'm happy to say that as of April 2018, all 2017 bank accounts are reconciled to the penny. There's no big write-offs. There was no forcing any of these balances. We did it, and I'll give Deb a little bit of a pat on the back. She was instrumental in doing this too. She took the big one and did that. So we've gotten through that, and I'd actually, as of today, we've had updates from all the staff. We're actually through February of 2018, and that includes the general fund as well. So there's no surprises coming from 1 year to the next for us because we brought it forward into February. I will mention that we are going to be reversing a $300,000 adjustment that was recommended by the auditors last, not our external auditors, the firm that did the reconciliations, thought that we had a $300,000 difference, but it was something that actually crossed years, and it's actually in our favor. We had a write-off for that amount, but it wasn't correct. So we're going to be having that adjustment effective 2017, I think, is when we put it on. I'm not sure if it, yes, because we're done with 16. So we had to put it in 17 as an adjustment. Okay, so this year, the audit is scheduled for mid-June. It's a month earlier than it has been for the past at least couple of years. We'll have the 2017 annual update document. The initial draft will be filed with the comptroller's office by May 31st. We think that'll be earlier, but I can tell you that that's earlier than it has been for at least 6 years. So I think that's we're making progress, to say the least. Next month, we'll be bringing soft close financials to the Finance Committee. And my last thing I'd like to tell you is that based on where we stand today, our cash has improved, and at this point, I don't expect that we will need to borrow this fall. That's as of today. We'll see when we get closer.
633.
I know. Sorry, it took a little bit longer. Ruth's not going to ask. Oh, 633.
Yes.
As of 633 today,
it does
look like we aren't going to need to. So that's the end of my report.
Any questions or comments, Mr. Akers?
Well, it just shows tremendous progress on the part of our department heads and our county administrator. We've gone from borrowing $10 million for a few years. I think we were 12 and a half, and that was our goal. this year was to not borrow any money at all, and it looks like we might, I won't say, but I should say we'll possibly achieve that goal. And that's a great turnaround in the last 4 years. Thank you very much to all the department heads and to Ruth.
Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now our county administrator's report.
Yes, thank
with
you,
more
Renee.
Numbers.
More numbers. I'll do my report and then go over the first quarter with you. I did want to compliment Chris and Joanne, I'm sorry, for working on the municipal comprehensive runaway homeless plan. That is one of many, many examples of shared services that we already employ. You know, certainly as we had talked when we discussed it, this is not an issue so much in St. Lawrence County as it is in other areas of our state. However, it's still very important that we address it because it does affect some of the folks of St. Lawrence County. I wanted to let you know that the Canton Human Services Board met for their first quarter meeting this year. There was a request to utilize the parking lot of the Canton Human Services Initiative, Human Services Center. As you're well aware, annually we do the permission resolution for the Dairy Princess Parade, so that authorizes for folks to share the property here on Judson Street. But we had a request from one of our partner agencies, and it brought up an interesting question about who can grant that permission. So we had an opportunity to talk about that as a board, identify that, yes, of course, they would like to extend permission for them to be able to use it for shuttling purposes, so folks will be able to park at the Human Services Center and be shuttled over to Cornell Cooperative Extension. So the balance of that, though, was in the future. Would the Canton Human Services Initiative Board grant permission to the Board of Legislators, who meet certainly more regularly, to be their designee to provide these permissions? And they have agreed that that is something, if this board's willing to do, much like you do the permissions for our parking lots, that they would be willing to do that. Also, we'd like to look at the signage for the Human Services Center. If you've been by lately, you'll see that it still says Office of Economic Development, and best I can tell, that's 8 years old. So we'd like to come up with something more relevant and certainly able to be changed out more frequently with the departments that have come and gone from that building. So we actually have talked with the Highway Department about potentially assisting us in creating a sign that would be able to have removable parts. We did discuss lots of organizations are moving towards digital signs. This board was not interested in moving in that direction, much prefer the stable sign that has parts that can be moved out with any changes that happen in the future. The officers were kept the same for 2018 as they were for 2017. And then we also discussed planning for infrastructure. The opportunity to take a look at in this building that, you know, was constructed in 2001, we're going to be coming up on some major items such as a roof, such as HVAC, some of the areas that are more expensive to maintain. And while all of the departments, mostly county departments, pay rent and maintenance in that building, it's important for us to identify the fact that there may be some more expensive items that will require attention by either our buildings and ground staff or hired out. So we did want to mention that as well over the next 3 to 5 years. And we'll bring that to you as a part of the 2019 budget process because, as you know, those costs are distributed to the tenants of that building. Wanted to mention and then certainly have Chair Lightfoot of the Raise the Age Committee speak to it if he'd like. Conference call that was held, many of you probably saw some reporting on that on the weekend. We had a conference call on Thursday with some folks from the state that identified that they believe that the plan submitted, the local planning guide we submitted as a part of compliance with Raise the Age, was excellent. They answered a few questions about some additions we may want to make to that, and they're also still in their review process. What they also provided to us was the next step for us will be to identify the existing services in place, because many of the areas we addressed were alternatives to incarceration, and justify those based upon the numbers. So that's something as a working living document that we'll be working on going forward. Joe?
The conversation pretty much had to do with the service part of the Raise the Age plan, and that was handled very nicely by the county administrator and the county attorney. I got my two cents in
talking about the building and the proposal that they were looking forward to see with regard to a facility to house youths in need of detention. And I spoke for the board in this way, that in my estimation, this board has absolutely no appetite at all funding a building without guarantees from the state of New York, guarantees, rock solid guarantees, that they were not only going to guarantee funding this from its inception, but well into the future. In 20 years, when this building needs a new roof, they're going to be there to pay for it. We're not going to get that, in my estimation, and if you did not get the same message, please correct me. But the message I got is, in fact, one of the ladies spoke to it and said that detention has always been a county cost. Well, I don't think so, not in this case anyway. They dropped something on us in the end of 2017 and expect everything to be up and running by October of 18. And, oh, by the way, it's up to you guys, you counties, to come up with a plan on how you're going to take care of this issue of detaining people that use that need to be locked up. So I think it went very well. They got the message. The thing that impressed me, too, is the outstanding job that social services, probation, the sheriff's department, the county administrator, the county attorney did in putting this plan together and then bringing it all together, these various plans from the department heads who did a heck of a job. They sang our praises like you couldn't believe. They were very happy with it, and I think everybody that was there commented about how favorably they viewed our plan and that it was spot on and that it didn't the amount that we were suggesting that we would need was not an exorbitant amount, not something that they didn't expect, not something that they thought was way out of line. So I think that as far as the service part of this plan, they are very pleased with it, and hopefully the Division of the Budget will approve what we are looking for, and we'll go forward from there. The building, I have no idea where that's going to go right now. I think the ball's in the state's court.
I think one area that we were able to ask a little bit more in depth was the reimbursement. So we've been coming to you talking about the 100% for certain areas and aspects of implementation. Well, what we learned, both through hearsay and then also confirmed, was 100% up to. So 100%, but there's more to the sentence. There's a comma and then the numbers they've decided as far as positions go. So, for example, in probation, they've limited the 100% up to 80,000, including fringe. For a probation assistant, that would look more like 60, including a supervisor, would be 100. Now, those numbers might seem generous. However, once you add in fringe on top of a salary, that may exceed the 100% in their mind. So we were able to, through both conversations that my colleagues are having online, as well as asking pointed questions, identify that their 100% might not translate exactly to what 100% means in St. Lawrence County, much like the discussion about the detention center. 100% of principal may not, there may be a comma and more to the sentence or a paragraph. So we were able to have the discussion. We are going to follow up again, and we certainly have some more work to do. But the partnerships, I think, between county departments has been great. The information that we put forward was certainly based upon the numbers they provided, which they've now provided additional numbers that we'll share with the departments who need to work on that. Any questions right now? Okay. Wanted to let you know that Human Resources is going to be hosting New York State Civil Service on site Wednesday. They're going to be providing basically a Civil Service 101, and this will be for St. Lawrence County staff, but also for civil service entities, which I'm certain you're reminded that Human Resources for St. Lawrence County handles all of St. Lawrence County, not just within Canton and within the walls of St. Lawrence County government. So there'll be some folks coming in to train with us that aren't employed by the county, but we're glad to have the state come up and spend some time with us. Last Thursday, Public Health hosted a pod, they call it, a point of distribution. They aren't made aware of the circumstances until a few days before. There were a couple of dates that the state employed, and in the region, Jefferson, St. Lawrence, and Lewis counties all participated last Thursday. The pod was to deal with the hepatitis A outbreak. So working through both volunteers that are county workers as well as some external volunteers were able to participate. There were 11 objectives to be met, and we met 1 through 8 and number 10 with no issues. There were two areas that we're going to work on. One was a language line for interpreter services. That was something that I think we hadn't envisioned prior to, as well as dealing with the lines. And physically walking through the exercise allows you to identify when those issues might crop up. We had support from Canton-Potsdam Hospital. They were impressed by the protocol used. Many of the other pods that have been employed didn't actually demonstrate or work all the way through the vaccination, so they worked through the process. Certainly no vaccinations were given, but in other areas they had the person sit down and then they moved on. So they actually had the clinical person simulate as if they were working through the vaccination. The goal was 86, and we had 93 go through. And they had a dinner for the folks who participated afterwards. So there was wonderful assistance provided by the sheriff's office as well as part of that exercise. So they had a hot wash on Friday, and they will continue to look forward to the next. They had a lot of folks who are interested to participate the next time. Any questions on that? Okay. Next Monday, we will be meeting to discuss the year in review with Excellus and Burnham as well. One of the things that I'm interested in talking with them about next week is to conduct some customer satisfaction surveys. I think between Human Resources and my office, we have entertained and had discussions throughout the year as there's been a transition. In the reports we've gotten from Burnham, I think they've had some issues that have been addressed, but I think if we were to gather information from all the folks who've made the transition, it would be valuable to make sure the services being provided is as we expect. So I also think following this opportunity for the Health Insurance Committee to meet with Burnham and Excellus, we'll then call a meeting for the unions, as we've been doing over the last year and a half, to discuss and take in any of their issues or concerns as well. We conducted interviews today for the Weights and Measures Director. We'll provide you with an update on that in executive session. Also wanted to mention to you that my assistant administrator will begin working with us this week. One of his first tasks will be to attend the NYSAC Finance School, and his first day in the office will be next Monday, so he'll be here for the board meeting. Wanted to let you also know that the bid opening for J&L took place Wednesday morning, and there'll be a meeting, or there's a meeting scheduled this Wednesday morning to go over those bids. Early, I believe it's 9 o'clock, they made the meeting. Also wanted to let you know an issue that we resolved last year when we were talking about the county home cemetery. We're looking for a way to memorialize the folks that are laid to rest there. We're looking at potentially some type of a bench or some type of way that we could provide an opportunity for folks who visit the folks laid to rest there. We'll be bringing something hopefully for Memorial Day, but we'll keep you posted on that. Also want to let you know that we've been fortunate, we've talked about it, but we've been fortunate to get some funding from Senator Ritchie, both for building improvement in the courthouse and also to be distributed to the fire departments in the county based on a response they might make to Fort Drum. So what I wanted to make sure was there was no objection to the board meeting packet. We'll be adding resolutions to authorize us to accept that revenue. Also wanted to mention to you that the salary review committee for the legislator salary, as was requested, we weren't able to finalize a meeting with the recent vacation schedules of the folks on the committee. They'll meet tomorrow, and my hope is to have a recommendation for you next week. And then we have the first quarter financial update provided to you. We did make a few changes to the summary report. In the first page, you have the category breakdown. What we had been doing on the quarterly report was comparing the prior year to this year, showing you the difference and the percentage of the difference. And in talking through what that meant, you may find that in 1 year in the first quarter, you may have some expenses that aren't relevant to the following year's first quarter. So what we did this time was we gave you the first quarter. We looked at what the difference is against the adopted budget, because that's really what you're looking at as far as when those expenditures are taking place. And we gave you a percentage of the budget. Now, what you're looking at also includes 12 departments that were within 2% of that 25% if you were to divide the year equally. Though we know many don't spend in the first few quarters, they may spend more heavily in the third and fourth quarter. But there are some with contractual obligations that do have to spend in that first quarter, and that's some of the ones that you see that may exceed that 25% or thereabouts. There were also four areas that we continue to, and I think the category, the pages that follow, identify a little bit better where the county clerk, where the Board of Elections, real property, and the treasurer. It's very difficult when you see a negative balance to understand, even though you know there was spending that took place in the first quarter. But when you look at the category summaries, you can see the spending on personnel, the contractual obligations, as well as what their revenue has performed by in that first quarter. So I think that's a good way, while we want to give you the total, to also identify that normal spending happens in the first quarter in areas where revenue exceeds expenses. Many of your department heads are here tonight if you have any questions, but I do want to compliment department heads. They continue to be very careful with their spending, to be very smart when they bring recommendations to you, but also to be more open with that dialogue. I think you've seen in both the quarterly reports as well as in the annual budget. Questions?
Okay.
May I have a resolution?
So, any new business to come before the building? Okay, under old business, we need a motion for a resolution for proposed local law D, number to be determined, for the year 2018, amending local law 4 for the year 2015, setting policy on acquisition and sale of tax delinquent property in St. Lawrence County. Mr. Arquette, second.
Just in case.
Mr. LaPierre.
Once again, I'm not going to go into great detail about this. There are three sections in particular that were modified, Section 7, Section 9, and Section 10. Section 9 and Section 10 were modified so as to allow costs associated with the buyer's premium to be able to pass on to any successful bidder at the auction. That way, the county would not assume any costs associated with any auctioneer services that are retained when we potentially contract out for those services. Paragraph 7 was modified to actually reduce or remove a superfluous sentence. So no addition was actually made to paragraph 7.
Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks. Motion carries. Any other old or new business? Mr. Lightfoot.
This may be a little out of order, and I'll try and be brief so I don't lose it. But I just want to thank everybody for the expressions of support and prayers that they showed me and my family this past week. You're a great bunch of people. I'm honored to work with you, all of you, and I truly, truly mean that. Thank you.
Anybody else? Seeing none, we do have a need for executive session for negotiations, litigation, personnel of a specific nature, and appointments. Do I have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Bergen and Ms. Bell, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are in executive session.
To summer hours with us. So that is the first time, at least so far in years, that they haven't matched up with our schedule. We're continuing to push for that conversion. Our concerns are as they have been, if we're moving towards vertical security, that's very difficult to enforce if security's not here till 9 and we're here working at 8. So I wanted to give you that update. We're supposed to meet on Wednesday. Wanted to confirm, Joe, that you can still attend. But to find out where we go from here, it certainly will delay our implementation, but that may not always be a bad thing if we're able to get a few other things worked out. Okay, that's all I got. Unless there's questions.
Anybody else?